Yeah, you see, the IRA in situations of war will, as a rule, back off when the common good is threatened.
Right.
For example, during the Second World War, it was seen that Hitler could use Ireland as a back door to get in because mm-hmm. of the feeling of distrust between Great Britain and Ireland.
Right.
Never happened. Some Irish POWs were approached by Gestapo, SS, and propaganda people to come and help. The majority of them said no. One or two did, and were very clever about it. Used it as a way of getting information out by prearranged codes to the rest of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And a few were actually serious about creating their country. Okay.
Thank you. That's been interesting lessons.
Mm-hmm. Well, when you do research on the past, present, and future predictions, you have to do a lot of research on the past.
True.
Greetings and felicitations.
Greetings, Omar.
Okay. Let us continue. I believe, gentlemen, you have both done your 5 press-ups.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. We both did them. Mm-hmm. Mark was a witness.
Okay.
I'm not slacking off on my part this time.
Yeah, and...
Otherwise, you know what the price would be.
I can't do push-ups this week, so I'm not going to ask them a goofy question.
Okay.
And I think I tracked both of you very well.
Yes, I have to agree.
But it was worth it for the information we got.
Yes.
It was worth it for me.
But it was part of the learning process. And what did we learn?
Because I'll have to ask any more questions.
When you say... for the last question. To ask one last question.
That is correct. I will sometimes occasionally bend the rules slightly, but that is normally for a good and just cause.
True.
Okay. Now, serious questions.
Okay. Working with crystals, mm-hmm. we've talked about how crystals are able to amplify the body's energy field. Mm-hmm. And you're able to use that to the effect of either using as a focusing tool mm-hmm. or as a place to store information. Mm-hmm.
Or a place to expel energy from.
Right, to draw energy.
No, expel energy. Laser.
Oh, yeah, okay. Right, so, you have storage and expel, right? Okay. Now, what other purposes can we be looking for in the way of using of crystals?
Well, one is the obvious purpose of looking nice. The second possibility is for protection. The third possibility is for access to information. Not just storing, but access. The fourth possibility of usage is for experimentation. The sixth one is for lighting. The reflective abilities of crystals.
How about healing?
Yes, healing. That is number 7. Number 8. Is using for decoration. 9 is the potential as a... I suppose that would come under number 2. Okay. Is that enough for the time being?
That's enough for the time being to work with.
Okay.
Okay, let's start working with, first off, protection.
Protection.
Any more definitive?
Yes, laser. firing pulses of energy.
Okay, now, in theory, it sounds all good, but in actual practice, what is the basic principle, what is the basic effect?
It is, as used in a metaconcept, one crystal, energy crystal as it happens.
Right.
Fully charged, I believe.
It is.
Which is unusual for Mark. No. Like one of your Star Trekian devices, laser. Aim. Expel energy.
And to what purpose? What is the effect?
Defense.
Okay, what is the effect on the person that it's expelling energy on? How does it affect their energy patterns?
It disrupts their energy pattern. It can either be used in a firing motion or a sucking motion to collect their energy to weaken them.
Does it matter what kind of crystal you use for that?
Yes, it does, actually. Laser crystal is always handy for that. Energy crystal is good if it is charged low to suck the energy with, or if it is fully charged to disrupt, but not to cause damage. A laser crystal will cause damage. A little bit of burning, maybe. Okay. Heating of the skin.
Now, with the energy crystal fully charged, let's say you use it to disrupt the energy and then suck it back in.
Mm-hmm. No, you can't do that. You cannot suck in energy once it's been used.
Oh. Okay. All right. And now, what is the purposes on the laser crystal? Is only for in self-defense?
Yes.
Okay.
Crystals are used as a rule in self-defense. Even in an offensive mode, it is self-defense.
Right.
Say this is a laser crystal, somebody is attacking you, what are you using it for? To defend yourself. Even though you are now, by using it, attacking them, it is still a defensive maneuver.
Mm-hmm. Now the question I have is, how can you practice using this without actually causing any harm?
You select an inanimate object. How do you learn how to hit a target without shooting somebody?
I realize that, but I mean, when you want to see that there is an effect that you are...
Trust me, there is an effect.
I'll trust you.
Yeah, I found a crystal a lady friend gave to me some time ago. Can you look at this through Mark? I'm using it for healing purposes. It's amethyst.
Mm-hmm. Of course, a healing crystal.
You might want to push it out in the moonlight tonight.
Oh, okay.
It has been used a lot at the moment and therefore is low.
Oh, okay. Do I have to do anything else?
That should suffice at this time.
All right, thank you.
Once you have healed, you might want to cleanse it.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And then recharge it on the next available full moon. You might
okay. go
through the cycle of it is your leg is healed, you put it out, you cleanse it, and the following night is a full moon. That might be the best way to go. So that would give you approximately 29 days.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that's approximately 1 month.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Next question.
So?
Is deep in
thought.
You mentioned lighting purposes. Mm-hmm. Now, is this putting the crystal in front of a light bulb or something?
Or sitting on top of a light bulb in a stand.
Like what I've got over there.
Correct. It looks nice.
And it diffuses the light?
Correct.
Okay. Because for some reason I'm thinking that we use it for...
illuminating the source, being amplified like a strip light.
Yeah.
Mm. Not yet. We do not possess the ability or the gift to do so. And occasionally Mark will make crystals glow. But I believe that drains him quite dramatically.
Right.
Now, what causes the crystals to grow? Is this the same force that when you strike crystals with a rock or what they used to do, like Indians used to do, bang on crystals, creates a spark?
Yes.
Within? Now, to get them glowing, is that then the energy that's being expended into them creates a electromagnetic charge?
Psychokinetic charge.
And they respond to that?
Correct.
Okay. Now, what about in the way of electromagnetic charges?
Electromagnetic charges do not work as efficiently, and as soon as the source is removed, they automatically switch off like that. Psychokinetic charges will fade away slower.
Okay. I was thinking electromagnetic can be maintained through mechanical means indefinitely, as long as you keep a power supply on.
Yes, but it requires a much higher level of power due to the fact that it is an artificial source, whereas a natural source will not require as much.
Okay.
Because it is a higher level of energy.
What happens to the energy levels of crystals when you apply that electromagnetic charge?
It is drained.
The crystals drain?
Yes.
Well, Johnny, I'm hogging all the questions. Go ahead there, bud.
These channeling crystals that I got, should I set those in the moonlight tonight?
Yes,
also?
That would be handy.
Okay. And how long should I put all these crystals in the moonlight? All night?
All night.
And then retrieve them in the morning?
Correct.
Okay. And we do have the power, being third dimensional vehicles, to illuminate crystals with our minds.
Yes, you do. It just requires a lot of patience to practice how to do it and how to do it repeatedly.
Also, but it is something, it is within our grasp to master this.
Yes, it is.
Is it useful?
If you have lack of lighting, it may be useful.
What about training your mind for just a singular purpose?
For a singular purpose, it can be useful for that. However, focusing on such a narrow field may be construed by some to be a waste. By others, it may be a necessary learning tool. It is hard to say wherever it would benefit everybody or just a select few individuals. That is up to the individuals.
Can you use Metaconcert to illuminate a crystal?
Yes.
So would you recommend doing it through Metaconcert first before you try it individually?
Once you have constructed a successful Metaconcert on a regular basis, then it would be useful to advance to that level of training. It takes a higher amount of energy to illuminate a crystal than you would actually realize.
Well, yeah, I can imagine.
Having illuminated a crystal fully, it will take approximately 10 to 15 minutes for it to go back to a normal illumination level.
Hmm. How does this change the crystal structurally? Anything at all?
Nothing at all.
Okay. Doesn't make any clearer or anything like that?
No.
Okay. Now, Kiri and I were discussing patience in the night.
I was waiting for this.
And you, your name happened to come up during the conversation.
Mm-hmm. So I hear.
And it was mentioned that you practice patience in the form of that you take one day as if it was 100 years.
Mm-hmm.
You have that kind of patience.
Yes.
And because of that, you're able to take the knowledge and the patience and combine them for wisdom.
Mm-hmm. I have learned over the years to cherish each second for what it is. Because remember, that second will never come back. So it is a prized and precious jewel which is to be shared, enjoyed, and relished. Holding it to oneself is a negative. Sharing it is a positive.
Okay. So from one who is trying to learn wisdom to one who has already learned wisdom.
I do not have wisdom.
You do not? Oh, Kiri called you very wise.
She has been very flattering.
So Sananda and Ashtar have wisdom.
Correct. In my opinion, they do so.
Well, how can we as third dimensional beings be cheating for goals that have been reached by Ashtar and Sananda and not by you?
It is a tricky situation, tricky to explain. Kiri, in her perception, is correct. On me. But in my perception, I am not wise.
Are you becoming wiser?
I wish to be wiser.
You wish to be wiser.
Whether or not I will achieve it is up to me. But by the perception that Kiri has is that I am wise. To her, maybe I am wise. But to myself, I do not see myself as wise. Ashtar and Sananda most certainly are wise.
Would they call themselves wise?
I cannot speak for them.
I know, but I'm thinking, is wisdom a personal perception then?
No, I think it is more an external perception, how others perceive you.
Many people see me as wise. And I certainly don't see myself as wise. Mm-hmm. But yet I'm always called, you know, very intelligent, very wise. Knowledgeable maybe is the confusion there.
I think so, yes. Also, I think it is a perception that people have of you, whether or not you are wise. Myself, personally, I do not see myself as being wise. The fact that Kiri said that I am wise, I'm very flattered that she thinks so. But then I must deny it, unfortunately. And Kiri is going.
Well, since Kiri gave you a nice compliment, I'd like to pass one on to Russ. And he is definitely a wise ass.
That is another useful terminology.
Don't you think my words were quite correct for our friend here?
I would not like to speculate on whether or not he is a wise ass or a wise fool.
we'll leave that up.
I'll take wisdom any way I can get it, okay, guys?
Okay. Last question, Russ.
Okay. In dealing with future and the preparations therefor.
I've been expecting this question.
Yes. Is it something we will feel regretful that we did not take the time and effort and money to stock up on certain things instead of going to more frivolous matters?
Let me ask you a question. What is frivolous? Do not answer that question.
Okay.
I will elaborate. Is friendship frivolous? Is something that will never happen again frivolous? Is preparing for something frivolous? Is getting ready for trouble frivolous? I cannot answer the question for you. I cannot guide you. That you must decide for yourself. But is friendship frivolous? Is preparation frivolous? Johnny, last question.
Well, with the preparations ahead, I don't think anything you can do is going to be frivolous But there's a lot of third-dimensional people who just totally disagree with the whole concept that and what we're preparing for.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. It seems like I've been planning my whole life for this. So I don't know. I'm just going to keep on preparing. You think that would be wise?
Yes. But it is hard to define the correct procedure for the preparation. What may work for one person may not work for another. Some people may be overly prepared, which in itself is an impossibility, and some people may be not prepared enough. The correct answer is within you, within both of you and everyone. Thank you very much. Have an enjoyable evening. And I am hustling due to the fact that I do not want to have to dish out 5 press-ups as a punishment. Live long, prosper, and I'll be back.
Goodbye.
Hello. Okay, last person.
Okay.
Uh-huh.
Thank
you. Yo. Hello. Greetings.
Indeed, my dear. How are you?
I'm doing fine. And you?
I'm good.
Mm-hmm. He is wise.
I agree. Ooh, I personally feel so too. But
yeah.
He says that it's an external perception.
Mm-hmm.
And if we all three agree that he's wise, is he wise?
Well,
it's only three of us. I mean, how much does it take to make a majority to make a person wise? I don't know.
I think a true wise man does not admit that he is wise.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I can understand that. Mm-hmm. Now, what do you think about Rush being a wise ass?
Well, I don't agree that I'm wise, therefore I must be doing something right here, right?
I'm not getting involved in that.
Okay, I don't want to put you in a precarious situation.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So where were we? Mm-hmm.
Oh, I wanted to discuss with you what we were discussing about the other night.
Okay. What we were discussing on Saturday night, wise men. It's a perception, I think.
Okay.
Does that answer your question?
Yeah, but at the same time,
it leaves it open to further discussion.
Well, not so. Yeah, it does, but that's what I want to get into the discussion part of it. For example, we first discussed the acquiring of knowledge,
mm-hmm.
and then adding with that to that patience.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, with the acquiring of knowledge, what establishes knowledge? I mean, I can look at baseball scores and memorize who's on what teams, and I can call that knowledge.
Yes, that is knowledge,
but
knowledge is such a broad term that it definitely needs a definition on what constitutes real knowledge. I think a better way to elaborate would be useful knowledge.
Okay.
Not trivia.
Is there such a thing as universal knowledge?
Well, that would cover everything such as trivia, useful knowledge, obsolete knowledge, and so on. I think it should be split into categories of trivia knowledge, useful knowledge, ancient knowledge, working knowledge. In fact, I could sit down all night and break it down into so many subcategories that it would be ridiculous. But definitely the most important one, in my opinion, is working knowledge. Knowledge of vast quantities of information that can be used in a positive way, not just in a narrow field, that can be applied to other things other than its own original purpose. For example, you can apply baseball information to only baseball. It doesn't translate into anything else.
Right.
However, engineering knowledge translates into a myriad of different possibilities. By being able to understand, theorize, and establish a premise, that is much more useful than to be able to cite that in 1932, the roof hit 60 home runs. Or was that 27? I don't know.
Right.
But what purpose does that serve? That serves nothing. But being able to sit down and say that in 1938, a gentleman by the name of Whitley produced the first fully functional jet engine that worked efficiently.
But then knowing the functions of the jet engine and how he came about it would be also considered quite useful.
That's correct. And it does save a function, because with jet engines, you can progress on to higher level of engines. Once achieving a scientific level, you can take the next step up, and the next step up, and the next step up, and the next step up. For example, piston engine, right? No, let's get back. Steam engine becomes internal combustion engine, becomes the jet engine, in turn becomes the ramjet, followed by the scramjet, in turn followed by spatial travel. You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Whereas baseball stats of Babe Ruth, where do they go?
Right, so that's the difference between trivial knowledge and useful knowledge.
That's correct. So it is important to elaborate when you use wisdom or knowledge and patience to the steps towards wisdom. You have to elaborate on useful knowledge or working knowledge.
What about psychic knowledge?
Psychic knowledge, that is part of the step towards wisdom, certainly. But it is not just one type of knowledge that makes you wise. It is a wide variety of knowledges that make you wise. I could be the smartest engineer in four dimensions.
Right.
Total genius when it comes to it. But if I don't know that that I have to wind up my wrist chronometer every morning, then it's useless. If I don't know that I have to have patience to achieve a goal or how to operate the computer, then again, it's wasted. So to become patient, you have to have a lot of different types of knowledge to achieve one's aim.
To be patient?
To be patient, yes. But that is part of the key to our society, is being able to be patient with knowledge is a step on the road to wisdom. It is taught very extensively in our monastic society when somebody takes an oath of monasticism.
Mm-hmm.
Because we go to those people for information and help. Take my grandmother, for example. Whenever I need help or somebody to talk to, who do I go to? I go to her. because she has access to the knowledge that I don't have. Like putting herself in a situation where she steps out of her body, basically, after travels to a different plane of existence, she can communicate with people that have gone before and that are ready to come again to achieve the information that she needs.
Now, has she been able to do this for a long time, or is this something she's able to do because she's getting close to that point herself?
I think it's a little bit of both, that she has been working on achieving that goal for a long time, but she's also getting ready for it herself. She's been a nun now, I believe, for about 30 of your years, maybe a little bit more, but I'm not too sure. So I think it is partly due to the fact that she has reached a wisdom level or a knowledge level, and she has an inordinate amount of patience, but her life is bound by rituals. For example, you miss a golden opportunity, as I said, to learn a lot of information from her. She would have been delighted to have sat patiently and talked to you for hours and then giving you information if you had asked the right questions in the right way. How you would have done that would have been that you would have sat down at her feet and called her mother, because she is mother in a way. And you sit down to her and you would ask, "Mother, tell me." You'd pause and wait patiently, and she would look at you, and she would go, "What do you wish to know, my son?" A little bit like your society.
Mm-hmm.
And you would then explain the situation, but you'd have to be very careful and ritualistic about it. You being a man would be slightly different from the way that I would do it. How I would do it would be, I'd say, "Mother, I wish to have understanding." And she would say, "Understanding of what?" And I would say, "Understanding of just a small matter that has concerned me for some time." And she would go, what has concerned you for some time?" And I would say, "It is whether or not it is appropriate to open up a particular file." But I would name that file, you see.
Mm-hmm.
And she would go, "Why would you want to open up that file?" And I would say, "I'm searching for knowledge, truth, and wisdom." And then she would ask me what wisdom is. You see how ritualized it is?
I don't think I could do it without goofing up.
I think she would understand your...
I mean, coming from third dimension,
yeah.
I mean, we don't deal with the patients.
But it sounds like the method you use, every question stimulates a question.
Uh-huh.
Is that basically what you're doing?
Yes. Yes, it is. Because...
Interesting.
The age that she is that sometimes she's not sure which world she's in or which plane of existence, whether or not she's on a higher or a lower plane.
But is that a good learning tool, answering a question with a question?
Yes.
And then continuing back and forth like that?
It's something that we, as an engineer, are taught. For example, if I turn this wheel here and it is touching this wheel, right, which way will it turn? Will they both turn in the same direction, or will one turn the opposite way than the other one?
One will turn the opposite way of the other one.
Why?
Well, if you're turning one counterclockwise and the two wheels are touching, the one you're turning counterclockwise, the other wheel will turn clockwise.
They turn in the same direction.
They turn in the same direction.
And they're touching. They push each other around. But why?
But why? Because of the physical force involved.
Yes, but why? Why is the physical force involved?
Friction.
Why is friction involved?
Because they're touching.
Why are they touching?
So I guess you put them together.
But you see what's happening is that each answer stimulates the next question.
Yeah. I understand. It's interesting.
Mm-hmm. Which is very important. And it's the same in our ritualized society when we are asking questions of the nuns. or the priests or the brothers, we ask them a question. By asking them a question, that makes them go through the ritual of asking you a question, and in turn, you both learn by asking the question and giving the answer. Now, finally, you get to the final question of questions, and you will say, "Oh, Mother, this is the last question that I will ask." And she will go, "What is it that you wish, my daughter?" And I will say, "The question that I wish to ask is but of an insignificant matter." And she will say, "The final comment, nothing is of insignificance, the most little," and so on. That she will say something along the line, "The most littlest of thing is of much importance in the understanding of all. But what is the question?" And then I ask the question.
Well, I think I'll be talking to your grandmother for a while.
Well, she's fine at the moment, but she has been ill for a little while when I last talked to her.
Yeah, she will.
Do you mind me asking how old of a woman she is?
Oh, she's coming up on the 802nd birthday.
Yeah, that's getting up there.
Mm-hmm. 800 years, people look as good.
She always looks good, though.
She looks happy.
Mm-hmm. She always looks happy.
Oh, Johnny, that tape work okay? It's going okay?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it should be.
Problem there, it's fine.
It should almost be over. Should have like 10 minutes left.
Yeah, something like that, maybe less.
Mm-hmm. But you see how ritualized our religions are. You say that we have no religion.
Well, I don't say that. I say that there's no questing.
Oh, there is questing, believe you me. It's just that I do not try to inflict that side of my life on you, Johnny, or Mark.
But that's just it, though. Maybe that's something we want.
You've never asked me before.
Is it a Christian religion?
No.
No, but see, that's why I'm asking you now. So I can have understanding. It's knowledge that I seek.
Mm-hmm.
This is part of that knowledge.
Why do you seek knowledge?
So I can become wise.
What is wise?
The combination of knowledge and patience.
We could get into a cycle here. I could do the mother.
You could, but since you know what I want to know, it'd be just more or less important than it needs to be.
Oh, I see.
So, if not tonight, at some point in the future.
You would like me to explain about the religions of Sirius?
I would indeed.
Okay. Now, I must preface it by saying that I come from the highlands, so it's a mountain religion.
That's fine. I will understand that there is differences.
Yes, there are different
cultures. Mm-hmm. And we have the same thing down here.
Yeah.
But at the same time, yes, that adds to my understanding of what it is that you come from, and more understanding of you, darling.
Oh, thank you. Without sounding a little bit conceited and arrogant, I am more religious than Kara, and Kara will admit that.
Okay.
It was due to the fact that whilst Mother was very ill, that Grandmother used to come and stay for long periods of time.
And Carl wasn't there during a lot of that.
And I was, and she was my surrogate mother. So her religious views did influence me a lot. The fact that she came from way out in... If she was living on your planet, she would have come from the back country of the Ozarks.
Oh, okay.
Mm. She always says she's just a simple country girl.
Yeah.
And so therefore, her religious views are very, very deep within her, very ingrained in her mannerisms, and have always been there. Me, being the daughter of Tanaka and Miranda, it was difficult. The two totally different lifestyles clashing made me what I am, whereas Kara is more like our father.
Mm-hmm.
I'm more like my mother in the fact that my eyes are big, like hers were big, in seeing everything new. Everything fascinated her. Whether it was for pleasure or questing for knowledge, it just fascinated her.
Still does.
Yes, well, we know that. But for me, it's the same thing that we were more like children together, if you know what I mean.
Right.
Until she started going off on long trips being an engineer. And I always wanted to be like her. That's probably why I became an engineer.
Yeah.
I think I would have become one naturally anyway, but the fact that at an early age, I wanted to be an engineer. I used to break down my little servant robots.
Well, I bet that upset Dad.
Yeah, he used to find it funny, actually, because I would send him off to go and get things for me. And especially when I was reaching my middle teens. That was fun. I'd send him off to spy on people. In fact, that was when I discovered that I preferred women over men, actually. Well, the idea was more appealing of women and women than men and women.
Right.